thank you to Nicholas for the introduction and also for inviting me back again. I'm pleased he hasn't got bored of me just yet. I'm always amazed how Nicholas manages to organise a very excellent and impressive conference each time. I think this year is no exception. We actually have an all-star cast of ship finance bankers and some of the most active banks of 2016. And to introduce them very briefly, we have Huus Biesbroek from ABN AMRO, Philip Wunschman from Berenbergs, Frans van der Bosport from DVB, Shreyas Chipokati from Citibank. And Nicholas mentioned, my name's Jaswar Chohan, and I'm a partner at Holman Fenwick Willen, based here at, in Athens. Right, and without further ado, I think we'll head straight into the questions to hear from the ship finance bankers, and we'll start with a nice easy one as usual. Great. After a year of historic lows for charter rates and vessel values, a selection of Chapter 11 filings and some significant write-offs, have we finally seen the worst of ship finance's perfect storm? How would you sum up 2016 for your bank, and what do you expect in 2017? Huus, would you like to start?
Yeah, fine. Thanks. Good morning. It's an easy question. Not so easy answer, I suppose. But have you seen a perfect storm in shipping? I think not yet, to be honest. A lot of things were not fantastic, of course, in 2016, and we've had our fair share of restructurings, like most other banks, I suppose. We've also done quite a bit of new business. I think if you compare, and there was some excellent analysis of comparison with the 80s in the previous presentation, but if you compare to the 80s, the one thing which is still lacking is hyperinflation, very, very high interest rates. And so far, interest rates are close to zero today, which makes, let's say, just waiting for the upturn almost free of charge. Once the interest rate starts going up, and they have started to go up, that becomes more difficult, and therefore, restructuring is potentially much more painful. So that's probably key message.
Okay. Philip?
Yeah, good morning. I would say that in 2016, we have seen quite a tremendous change in the industry, and with regard to ship finance, I think it was mentioning that Berenberg is not the big financing bank, but obviously shipping is about financing, so we care about this topic. And if I look at a typical CFO table, he has to cope with two things today. This is one thing is the exit of some of his very traditional, long-standing home banks, domestic banks, which he had for sometimes decades. The other thing is, if he gets financing from offers, then it's about probably lower leverage than before and higher margins. But this is a situation a CFO or a ship owner has to cope with. And I think it's for us as banks, and this is also the prospect for Berenberg 2017, it's about being at your side, advising you on finding solutions on these. This doesn't mean, at least for such a small and private investment bank like Berenberg, doesn't mean to have our own balance sheet at stake all the time. We cannot, but we think a certain commitment to the industry is necessary to be taken serious. On the other side, it's about diversification of capital sources for a CFO. This is the one thing, the one answer. And the other thing is filling the gap. Yeah? Lower leverage means there's a gap when you need to finance or consider a new acquisition. And maybe the third thing is about refinancing, even if you are performing clients. If you have been performing with your loans so far, there are some banks that come to you and ask you kindly to look for another opportunity to find it for someone else. And these are the situations we have, and there we stand as Berenberg. I think this year will be interesting, full of opportunities and challenges for all of us, and we have to look for solutions. Coming to this in a minute, maybe.
Okay, Frans?
Yeah, okay. I think I agree with Guus that 2016 was maybe a bit windy, but the storm could be in 2017 or 2018. To summarize, 2016 was a horrible year for DVB. We made our first loss since 17 years. I think that says it all. Talking about dedication, I think different from my colleagues here around the panel, DVB, as you all know, is a dedicated transportation bank. It's the only thing we do. So even if the markets are difficult, we stay in, we stay committed. 2017 this year will be really challenging. I think we will discuss it a bit later, mainly due to the state where the offshore and especially container markets are in. That's our big worry at the moment.
Okay, Shresh.
And I think everybody said pretty much everything there is to say, but to repeat, I think far from over. I think we're just beginning to see the assault on global trade and the impact that this will have on consumption patterns, on commodity prices. All of that stuff is all coming up for us to enjoy in the next few years. So lots to look out for. And in terms of how Citi did, well, we are a full-service bank. As Franz mentioned, we probably differ from DVB in that respect. We do lots of different things. And so it was a good year because a lot of, as a U.S. bank, a lot of our fortunes depend on what the interest rate is at any given time. So for us, there's only upside. But the challenges to shipping specifically and transportation in general are enormous, and we need to be ready for that.
Okay, so some mixed views, but I think also some nervousness for 2017 coming up. And I think probably one of the key questions from in the minds of the audience, I think, will be, how do we see availability of finance in 2017? Will there be more new money deals? Will we still be looking at restructurings? I'll throw that question open to the panel. Anyone willing to...
I can take a stab this time. It will be constrained. There is no doubt in my mind that as credit committees at banks look at the global picture, there will be undeniably a question on how sustainable certain recoveries have been and how much longer asset prices in those sectors will continue to hold up. There are green shoots, for example, in container shipping at the moment. Expect this year to be a good one for it because the alliances will come up, the J3 will start implementing their capacity management. So for overall freight rates, that's good news. But then if you look at the container lessor sector, is there a risk that certain capacity could be handed back and so will create a mini storm within those names? Yes, it's possible. So there is a within each sector, I think everybody has to look at whether it is worth financing. But I think overall, the number of banks being fewer, the volatility in the sector being greater, and of course, I mean, we in shipping consider ourselves a family, and we are rightly very important to global trade. But in the context of global bank balance sheets, this is quite a small industry. So to get attention and to get returns is quite difficult. And we have to make the case each time that this is a global supply chain support function, you know, and that sometimes will have to come up against challenges from other sectors. So I think it's going to be constrained, and that challenge is not going to go away within 2017.
Okay, and I suppose linked to that also in terms of performance over the previous years and those owners and borrowers looking for the new finance, what do the banks see as key in terms of both surviving a perfect storm, being able to take advantage of opportunities, and ultimately being able to sell it to your credit committees in terms of how to finance new borrowers, new owners for new transactions?
Maybe I take that. It's... of course, I fully agree with what Shara said, but if you take one step back, there's more than enough money in the world. There's actually far too much money in the world. It's probably one of the issues, actually. And the question is how to attract that into to the shipping industry. I think 2017 may well be a year in which shipping companies start to think, how can we, well, to use that expression, dress up the bride in order to make it attractive for new sources of capital, whether it's from new entrant banks, whether it's from institutional investors. And we see some early signs of that, and I think thinking long and hard about what your company needs to look like in order to tick all the boxes to attract capital, whether it's debt or equity capital, is probably very key to long-term success in shipping today.
And maybe to add on that, I think what we already see, I fully agree, is on the debt side especially, over the last 12 months already maybe, but also going forward, more players coming into the game. Obviously many investors over the last 5 years thought it was a good idea to invest on the equity side, but obviously realized that this is at least a rather speculative exercise. So some of them, or many of them, come back and now look on the debt side and seeing the opportunity with banks exiting to fill that gap. I think it will take time, and I fully agree this will be the challenge for the industry for the next 2 or 3 years to cope with some already having exited or about to exit, and others looking at it, but maybe being not so experienced and being careful and not being able to fill the gap of 50 to 100 billion, which is exiting at the moment. So, but the good news is these people look at it, and we already see some of them coming into the game, and the recent transactions which on the secondary market shows that some new players are here also in Greece and running around and try to sell what they what they think is a good idea for financing you in the future.
Okay, and sticking with the topic of kind of taking advantage of opportunities, I mean, even I think looking back at 2016, I mean, Greek owners were again reported to top the rankings as most active buyers in the second-hand market, with roughly $2.7 billion spent in 2016 alone. So, I mean, the Greek fleet seems to have increased with larger and younger vessels being preferred. But how do the banks see this level of expansion, renewal in the Greek fleet, in the Greek market?
Maybe I can take that one. Yeah. I think it makes perfect sense. I have to say that maybe related to the previous topic, that in a crisis, of course, there are a lot of challenges, but also a lot of opportunities for banks. Speaking for DVB, we have more or less doubled our portfolio over the last 4 to 5 years. And I think the market in Greece, especially in Greece, is so wide and so deep. There's so many good shipping companies. With the withdrawal of a number of banks here, it gives great opportunities to the remaining banks to do relative good deals. Talking about us, it is a mixture of refinancing and restructuring. About half of the deals we do, and half of the deals are deals with new clients. So it's not all that bad, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, the fact that, let's say, the Greek shipping community has been able to do this is really a tribute to the strength of the Greek shipping community, because not only have they invested billions in acquiring ships, also it's been done to a very large extent only by equity, simply because the cash flows were not there to support any debt. And that is just very impressive, and it shows that the future for Greek shipping is probably still quite bright.
I mean, and in relation to the sale and purchase types of aspects and also the financing, I mean, I think a few of the panelists have also touched in terms of segment preferences. We've heard a little bit about the woes of offshore, also Shreyas mentioning about the container segment as well. And amongst the banks, are we seeing a bit more of a trend? Is there a segment that's the flavour of the year coming up? Is there any particular favourites out there for any of the banks? Yeah, sure.
I think within the context of the change in the mix of how hydrocarbons are used and how energy is produced, I think LNG certainly has a very interesting future, given that for a lot of energy mix discussions, LNG is seen as a renewable, given it's a clean burning fuel, etc. So for developing countries to have FSRUs and associated FLNG projects, which will hopefully be in size and more successful than they currently are, and that's a future we need to determine yet. But I think, as I wouldn't call it a bright spot, but certainly one area of focus should be LNG. And in that context, anything that can happen in the consolidation of the offshore power generation, i.e. wind power generation, consolidation of those installation companies as well as servicing and maintenance companies is an area, I think, where there could be a lot of growth in coming years. And that's an area where certainly banks should be looking to invest.
Okay.
I think the analysis that was made before sort of had a couple of very strong messages that the world is changing, and that demand for the structure of demand for shipping is changing as well. So that means that in the shorter term, probably some asset classes are less favored than others. But it doesn't mean that they cannot be financed, of course. One of my favorite expressions is shipping will never go out of fashion. So there's always ships needed, and as long as you do that with the right owner and understand the economic rationale of the investment, I think it's possible to finance it.
I think maybe to add on that, it's interesting to look at the container sector at the moment. I think that we have, what you already mentioned, we have the liners having a heavy consolidation track at the moment and driving into a very limited number of players remaining, but with that at least the first chance since years to stabilize maybe on freight rates, which is the basis for any tramp owner or for any vessel owner in that segment to stabilize also his income. So and combined with at the same time the container fleet being strongly financed in the past by German banks especially, which are exiting more or less at the moment or are in restructuring mode. So not too much new financing available for at least for new buildings. So I think this combined might create a situation where we have a certain demand-supply normalization, let's call it this way. And so for some sizes in the containers segment, I see at least some prospects, if not this year, then within the next 2 years or so.
Okay, and keeping on that topic about supply and demand fundamentals, I mean, as part of weathering the storm, if you like, there has been some consolidation, some reduction in oversupply. Are we starting to see the benefits of that? Are we turning a corner, or is there still a lot more that needs to be done?
On container shipping specifically?
I think generally, but if you like to focus on a particular segment, then...
Yeah, I think broadly speaking, if we're just talking about shipping in general, then the constraint of finance in the last couple of years has definitely had an impact. That was the drug that was fueling the binges, right? So, and once you pull that back, people have gone back into safety mode. So, I think certainly there has been an impact. I don't think, obviously, because there are still many ships on the water until the projected. I think James made some good points around scrapping. Until that actually happens, we won't see that capacity taken entirely off, and because the barriers to entry are so low in certain sectors, we just come back and start start nibbling away at the rates, people will do that. So until the ships actually leave, I think that risk still remains.
Okay, and I think in terms of sticking with the risks and maybe looking at the abyss a little bit more, I mean, how do the banks start to view the key risks to recovery? We've seen, you know, as some of the panelists have mentioned, some green shoots, potentially some light at the end of the tunnel, but there's still also some nervousness. So how do the banks see the key risks coming through? Philip, do you like to?
Yeah, key risks, what do we see? I think it's still a situation where you cannot rely really on what you have. So even if you perform what I said before, you have to be ready at least to accept that some of your partners for years want to get out. And I think this is something where the planning of your balance sheet is, and of your financing is a bit more challenging going forward. So this is a major risk where we see some clients having maybe made their homework over years, but then being at all of a sudden in a situation where they have to find refinancing under pressure, which is never a good starting point, obviously. Then the second thing I see, and you mentioned this already, is I think the interest side, where definitely we already have seen the LIBOR going up, so I think this already kicks in to be a challenge for the next time to come, and therefore these are two major things which I think will keep many people busy for this and the next year.
Okay, we'll carry the question across the panel. Franz, how do you see the key risks and threats to recovery?
The key risk is the behavior of my fellow bankers.
Thank you.
No, I mean, but in a certain way that's true. I mean, what we see quite a lot is banks, especially in larger syndicates, when it comes to refinancings, not necessarily the problem is created by the ship owner, but more on the constellation of the banking group, and we see more and more of have witnessed that over the recent years. That is a real key risk. How the banking group of a company looks like. Obviously, not talking about where the market goes, but liquidity. We focus a lot on liquidity in our bank, especially in the dry bulk market where we see the green shoots. We have done a lot of dry bulk, especially in this part of the world last year, and we continue to do so because we think it's a very good moment to increase our portfolio in that sector. But the focus is always on liquidity. We have to make sure, also enable to convince our credit committees that there is sufficient liquidity and access to the banking and capital market available for our clients.
Frans, I'll take your challenge there. Today we are in an environment where there are relatively few banks really active in ship finance. So actually, more than ever before that I can remember, you can make the difference in whether or not overcapacity will be created. And you start seeing with the dropping new building prices, and if you look at the analysis, they probably drop further, but it starts to become attractive in the eyes of some of the ship owners. And we do get phone calls now. We can do this this new building order in China or Korea, and how about financing it? And we really go into a deep discussion and to understand whether this is a pure opportunistic anti-cyclical play or whether there's a real economic rationale for the chip. If the answer is no, then basically we are very hesitant to finance it. And because I'm very aware of the fact that if we say yes, then probably the ship will be built, rather than if we say no or say, well, maybe look at a second-hand solution instead. that will have an impact on the supply-demand balance. So on that point, I agree. Although I think the availability of the billions that we have seen, let's say, 10 years ago is probably not there. So I don't see the supply side as the biggest risk today. I think what I see as the biggest risk is, first of all, asset prices. Because I do agree with the early presenter that there will be continued pressure on asset prices, not only because of the new building situation, but also because growth has always been priced in asset values, and that is now taken out because there's very little growth actually today. So I think the recovery in asset prices is probably less than a lot of people expect today. But if you look at the demand side, with everything that's happening in the world, in terms of geopolitics, in terms of protectionism, in terms of changes in the economic value chain, reshoring of production, for instance, I think that there's lots of reasons to be a bit cautious there and to be not hugely optimistic about the future or the near future of demand for shipping. So until the size of the fleet and the size of the new building order book has been right-sized for that new reality, I think there's quite some downside risk there.
Okay. And Shreyas, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I just wanted to put out that I think the biggest risk to shipping, and I think it can be overcome, but the biggest risk to shipping is the impact of a lower hydrocarbon usage world. And in a way, that is great for our kids and grandkids, but for shipping specifically in the short term, the mix of electric cars coming in as well as focus on wind and LNG generation makes oily hydrocarbons particularly at risk in size in terms of how much will be actually be required and how much needs to be actually coming out of the ground. If you just look at the numbers on a rough basis, about a third of the 95 million barrels which are produced and consumed every day, roughly, goes into land transportation, so gasoline and diesel products. And if you just replace 10% of that in the next, let's say, 10 years, that's still a couple of million barrels of production. And that's almost entirely all of Brazil's incremental production in the next 3 years. So you have to question what kind of energy mix people are going to have and how that energy mix is delivered to the last mile and across the oceans. And I think shipping is going to be affected by that.
Okay, and I think in terms of the risks, I think we probably kind of stuck in terms of the industry-specific risks, but I suppose there are also other elements, economic, political, and I think you mentioned, Shreyas, being the American bank on the panel, I think I'll ask you first in terms of these outside potential influences on lending policy. So, I mean, often the last few years there's been regular talk of Grexit, it's moved to Brexit. We've also now got the Trump effect. So how do you view these outside factors, perhaps wild cards, coming in to affect the shipping industry and lending policies?
Regulators look at shipping as inherently risky, yes, but they also allow significant concessions, I should say, in terms of how repayment profiles are looked at in terms of asset values. And one area that hasn't really evolved as much as we would like is the concept of loss given default. And it's kind of counterintuitive and where we say, well, there isn't really much loss given default because we are secure in most cases. Yeah. And they say, well, where's the evidence of, and there is no evidence because nobody's lost money, you see. And that kind of goes into a circular argument. But that, I think, over time will get resolved because there are new models being developed all the time and how risk is calculated and how probabilities of default and loss given default is calculated. But the major risk is actually at a macro level within banking, which is that, on one hand, governments want banks to be supportive to small and medium enterprises and support growth at the grassroots level. And on the other hand, they want them to be profitable. And you really can't do that in tandem because you can't build equity through profits if you're being forced to also address a social agenda. So you have to pick one or the other. Banks are happy to do whichever, but we have to pick one or the other. So I think from a regulatory perspective, under Trump, certainly there is obviously a lot of press about how Mr. Tarullo has resigned and he'll be leaving soon, and there is some pressure taken off of the Dodd-Frank implementation, which he was pursuing aggressively. So all of that is going to now just sort of, you know, wait and watch mode. But I think under normal BAU circumstances, they're not going to just take their foot off the brake. I think we've seen, and I think James's point around world trade falling off a cliff after the First World War, in today's world, I think we are too interconnected to simply force an issue. Let's see what happens with tax, et cetera, but within banking regulation, I don't think things will change very quickly. Overall, the implementation will slow down, but the rules will remain.
Okay, and not to let the other panelists off quite so easily on this topic, there's also elections in Germany, the Netherlands, France, so potentially some turbulent times in Europe as well. So how do the European banks view these types of risks? Fran, would you like to?
Yeah, I think in terms of regulation, it will only get worse. Maybe the trend which maybe Mr. Trump was trying to do in the U.S. Deregulation, I don't see that happen in Europe. Maybe even to the other extent. It's our fastest growing department in the bank, the compliance.
it's no joke.
I think on every front officer we have at least two compliance officers. How do we factor it into the policy of the bank? I think that's more or less impossible. The only thing I can say, I think it creates volatility and uncertainty, and that has different impact on different segments in shipping, and it is very, very hard to for me to give an opinion on that.
Okay. I think what is clear is that we have a year in front of us which is much more, let's say, exposed to political risk than the time before. I think this is clear, and the outcome is still not clear with all the elections in Europe, with Brexit coming all back on the agenda at the moment. So I think many topics in Europe where we have to see how the outcome is. So the disclaimer on everything we say here, I think, is very big today. To add on that, I think in any case what we see, and this is not only a Trump effect, but what we see since some times is that international payments is affected by some more protectionist behavior all over. So this is not only just recent, but it has started much earlier to become more challenging. And this is, I think, a very underestimated challenge for the shipping industry, that you all rely on efficient international payment systems, international exchange between banks, and this system is under pressure by compliance. Yeah, so we have a lot of sanction issues, we have a lot of other issues which are there on hacking and these kind of things. So a lot of risks here, but also just simply regional areas coping with themselves, so making international payments more complex these days.
Okay, and moving almost looking towards the banks again and how the banks have developed over 2016 and in 2017, I mean, we've seen, you know, some quite large write-offs, some activity in the secondary market. Perhaps maybe we've seen the biggest portfolio sales now, but you know, you never know what's around the corner. But how do the banks on this panel see the shape of the ship finance banks developing, and what will be an offer from the banks in 2017?
Please. Well, I think indeed you've seen some big write-offs. Personally, I think we'll see much more in 2017, as discussed before already, because this may well be a more difficult year than 2016 for banks. But I think the other sort of big theme is the uncertainty about the development of the Basel rules, which are going to impact what is called in the jargon object financing, including ship finance, aircraft financing, real estate, all of these things. If you follow the debate in the Basel Committee, basically this is going to be is going to require a lot more capital from the banks, and therefore, per definition, reduces availability of debt for ship financing. Now, the outcome is not clear yet, and again, the elections in the U.S. have sort of put it on a different track, I think, but still. I think the uncertainty will probably cause banks to hold back a little bit in at least growing their portfolios, because it's simply unclear how much capital they have to maintain against that portfolio in a few years' time.
I think for many years there were basically no real secondary market for shipping loans. There were some, here and there, and there were some banks selling a portfolio of performing performing loans, but I think this has gained speed over the last 12 months, and I think this is in general it's a good news, as this gives the opportunity to become to get a more liquid secondary market for portfolio sales, but also for loan sales. It gives you the challenge to cope with new partners, which you have not chosen before. Obviously, there's someone running into your office which you never chose yourself, and you have to speak with them and discuss with them and negotiate with them. But on the other hand, it gives the banks a bit more flexibility here, maybe, going forward, because they see a certain opportunity also to, at a certain point, to syndicate, but also to sell some loan tranches. And I think we will see this will be a major topic for this year, as there's many portfolios still to be restructured and in the end also sold off. Yeah, I think major topic for this year and next year to come.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in my view the five topics for 2017 for the shipping banks. One, what as Guus already mentioned, is the implication of implementation of and the uncertainty of Basel IV, what impact that has on asset secured finance, the development of the US dollar euro rate, which is especially important for DVB as a European bank with more or less a 90% denominated US dollar loan book. Further focus on risk capital efficiency, the regulations, and hopefully not too many more LLPs, but the impact what that will have on risk capital of the banks and increasing risk capital for banks going forward. If you look at, I think, the global banking landscape for shipping, I think it's very fragmented, and it really differs per region. Myself, living in Singapore, you see very strong competition in Asia. Most of the local banks are in healthy shape. I see a lot of colleagues here from China. I think we all know that the Chinese banks and Chinese leasing companies are extremely active at the moment. The same is happens in Hong Kong, the same happens in Taiwan. Looking at Europe, I think the banking landscape is very limited. You have a number of well-established core shipping banks. And in the US, if I may say, I mean, purely shipping banks, it's very limited. There's almost no competition. So it really varies.
Okay, and I think we're actually coming towards the end of our allocated time. So just to sum up very briefly, I think after several years of some very, very pessimistic discussions, actually I think I'll focus on some of the brighter lights. We heard mention the term green shoots, which I think I haven't heard for a little while. Some potential light at the end of the tunnel, certainly some uncertainty for the banks and perhaps for the banks themselves. And I think on that note, if there are any questions from the audience to the panelists, I can invite them now. Okay, so it seems that we've all escaped. It was a positive note that I think did it. So thank you very much, and I'll hand back to Nicholas.
Thank you.